Welcome, everybody. And actually, as we're beginning recording, if you have any background noise, if you could mute your line by pressing star 6, that would be great. I think, there we go. Thank you. Wonderful. So welcome, everyone. Today is Easter, and I can't remember the last time our Course in Miracles study group call actually fell on Easter. We've been doing this for over 4 years now. This might be the first time that we're actually on Easter, which is really lovely that we're all here to celebrate what this holiday is really, really about. So we're going to do a special Easter reading tonight. Before we dive into that, let's join together in stillness, taking a nice deep breath in and out. Letting go of anything that we've been engaged in doing today, in any preparations, in any planning, to just drop into being. And turning our attention to our own feeling of willingness. Our willingness to see differently. Our willingness to end suffering, not just for ourselves, but for the entire world. We do this by allowing ourselves, by allowing our own minds to be healed, by accepting atonement for ourselves, because when we're healed, we are not healed alone. So really touching that sense of willingness, even if it's as small as a mustard seed, that's all we need. And as we touch that willingness, offering that willingness to Holy Spirit, to Spirit within, asking for the miracle instead. This holy instance we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. Whatever it is that we need tonight, we can trust that it will be given by the Holy Spirit. We'll hear what we need to hear, read what we need to read, and we can trust that no matter what, we are not alone. Holy Spirit is always there. So again, taking a nice deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. So I'll give us paid references. I'm going to start with the Foundation for Inner Peace edition because it's actually the easiest to find. We'll be reading in the Clarification of Terms, which is at the very, very end of the book, the very back of the Manual for Teachers, which is the third part of the book, and it's number 5, the terms Jesus and Christ. It's on page 87 in this section of the Clarification of Terms. If you have the Sparkle edition, we're going to the very beginning of the book. It's called The Use of Terms. And turn to page X, so it's page 10, in the very beginning of the Sparkle. It's the 4th paragraph down. It begins with a sentence, "There is no need for help to enter heaven." If you have the original edition, this section seems to not be in that book. I'm not sure why. I actually wrote to the president of the Course in Miracles Society to ask about that. So if you only have access to that book, you can just listen as I read these sections, or you can look up the Foundation for Inner Peace edition online, or you know, if you have that or the Sparkle, feel free to use that tonight. All right, so we're reading the section on Jesus and Christ. And I'm going to do something a little different tonight. We're just going to read this whole section. I'm not going to stop paragraph by paragraph. We will pause at the end. But I feel moved to do it this way tonight to get through the fabulous reading for our Easter holiday. All right, so Jesus Christ. There is no need for help to enter heaven, for you never left. But there is need for help beyond yourself, as you are circumscribed by false beliefs of your identity, which God alone established in reality. I'm going to read that sentence one more time. But there is need for help beyond yourself, as you are circumscribed by false beliefs of your identity, which God alone established in reality. Helpers are given you in many forms, although upon the altar they are one. Beyond each one, there is a thought of God, and this will never change. But they have names which differ for a time, for time needs symbols, being itself unreal. Their names are legion, but we will not go beyond the names the course itself employs. God does not help because he knows no need. But he creates all helpers of his son while he believes his fantasies are true. Thank God for them, for they will lead you home. The name of Jesus is the name of one who was a man, but saw the face of Christ in all his brothers and remembered God. So he became identified with Christ, a man no longer, but at one with God. The man was an illusion, for he seemed to be a separate being, walking by himself within a body that appeared to hold his self from self, as all illusions do. Yet, who can save unless he sees illusions and then identifies them as what they are? Jesus remains a savior because he saw the false without accepting it as true. And Christ needed his form that he might appear to men and save them from their own illusions. In his complete identification with the Christ, the perfect Son of God, his one creation and his happiness, forever like himself and one with him, Jesus became what all of us must be. He led the way for us to follow him. He leads us back to God because he saw the road before him and he followed it. He made a clean distinction, still obscure to us, between the false and true. He offered us all a final demonstration. It is impossible to kill God's Son, nor can his life in any way be changed by sin and evil, malice, fear, or death. And therefore, all your sins have been forgiven you because they carried no effects at all. And so they were but dreams. Arise with him who showed you this, because you owe him this, who shared your dreams, that they might be dispelled, and shares them still to be at one with you. Is he the Christ? Oh, yes, along with you. His little life on earth was not enough to teach the mighty lesson that he learned for all of us. He will remain with you to lead you from the hell you made to God. And when you join your will with his, your sight will be his vision, for the eyes of Christ are shared. Walking with him is just as natural as walking with a brother whom you knew since you were born, for such indeed he is. Some bitter idols have been made of him who would be only brother to the world. Forgive him your illusions, and behold how dear a brother he would be to you. For he will set your mind at rest at last and carry it with you unto your God. Is he God's only helper? No, indeed. For Christ takes many forms with different names until their oneness can be recognized. But Jesus is for you the bearer of Christ's single message of the love of God. You need no other. It is possible to read his words and benefit from them without accepting him into your life. Yet he would help you yet a little more if you will share your pains and joys with him and leave them both to find the peace of God. Yet still, it is his lesson most of all that he would have you learn, and it is this. There is no death because the Son of God is like his Father. Nothing you can do can change eternal love. Forget your dreams of sin and guilt and come with me instead to share the resurrection of God's Son. And bring with you all those whom he has sent to you to care for as I care for you. And we'll pause there. Isn't this just perfect for Easter? It's just absolutely beautiful. I'm so touched by so many things in this section that it's talking, you know, it's saying that Jesus was a man who dreamed, who it says, rise with him. I'm reading back the one to the third paragraph that we read at the very end. Arise with him who showed you this because you owe him this, who shared your dreams that they might be dispelled. So Jesus he shared those dreams. He was here. He was tempted by the same things that we were tempted by with seeing form, yet he did not forget the truth. And therefore, he saw that, as it says, he saw the face of Christ in all his brothers and remembered God. So he became identified with Christ, a man no longer, but at one with God. The man was an illusion, for he seemed to be a separate being, walking by himself within a body. I love this line, within a body that appeared to hold his self from self, capital S. So appeared to hold lowercase s self from uppercase S self, as all illusions do. But Jesus saw the false without accepting it as true. So beautiful. I also am just so touched by also how it says that there's more than one teacher, that this is a teacher that we all identify with, that we can be open to and accept because the Course speaks to us, but that this isn't the only way. And this is pointing to a place where all pathways that teach love are ultimately taking us. So that is just something that I always love reading as well. So I want to pause here and see what has come up for you. What stands out to you in what we read? What are some of those senses that you underlined as we were reading?
Well, he offered you a final demonstration that it is impossible to kill God's Son, nor can his life in any way be changed by sin and evil, malice, fear, or death. That's pretty big.
Isn't that?
That is.
It's. But yeah.
Getting that from, you know, the head to the heart is the real, but it's not really a challenge.
No. It seems
really
like it is, but that's only because, again, for a couple reasons that we've already talked about on other calls, just the part of the mind that likes playing this game of separation, the part of us that believes that there's orders of difficulty in miracles. But this is saying Jesus undid the dream. He undid the belief in death by this demonstration that it's impossible to kill God's Son, that it's absolutely impossible. And so, yeah, I get what you're saying, Paula, that it seems like it's hard to get it from the head to the heart. But as we practice this, as we experience these miracles more and more and more, it becomes more alive and more alive in our hearts rather than just in our heads.
Yeah. Anymore, there's just this thing that runs through my mind whenever I'm challenged, whenever, you know, all this nonsense seems real. And its miracles fall like healing drops of rain from heaven upon a dry and dusty world. There's something very powerful about that in my mind. Just replacing any of these images and thoughts that come in, you know, that are so, that can be so disturbing, with that phrase. And then trusting, you know, that it will shift. And it always does. It's really quite amazing. You know, the realization that I don't know anything.
Right. And you know what I do know? I do know that I no longer want to rely on my own perception for any interpretation. That's what I do know. Because when I rely on my own, you know, if something upsets me and I'm wanting, you know, or feeling like I'm reacting to it, I more and more frequently, and I'm not saying I have mastered this by any means, but more and more frequently I stop and I think, you know, if I'm feeling lack of peace, I must be misperceiving. I don't know how, but it must be me who's doing the misperceiving. So that, again, puts me back in the place of being able to make a decision. You know, where do I want to put my faith? Do I want to keep focused on the form and on the dreams, or do I want to, again, ask for that miracle instead and, you know, have that willingness? And that's what I want. but you're absolutely right. I don't know what anything is for. That's a place of just complete openness.
It's funny because if I'm in the middle of what seems to be, you know, something that's really disturbing, I just anymore trust that once I remove myself from that, I can get back to, it's kind of difficult, you know, in the middle of it. But once I remove myself from it, I'm no longer affected by it like I was. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is such a miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to take it with me.
Right. Absolutely. That space can be so helpful. That's like, you know, sometimes you have to love people from a distance. You know, it's really difficult for whatever reason. It doesn't. Just what?
Just freedom to be who they are. The freedom to say anything.
Right. Yes.
Corinne?
My eyes are... Yes.
Oh, sorry. Were you going to say something?
No, go for it. I was going to share something, but I could do that later. Please share.
This is Maurice. In this whole thing, I've read this before, but it is the perfect thing to be reading today. And it's just, all of it is just so beautiful. So it's hard, you know, I could say all of it's my favorite. Not one thing, not just one thing is my favorite, you know. But it reminds me, you know, my prior training before I seemingly grew up and picked up A Course in Miracles, my dad was a Presbyterian minister. And so we knew the Bible quite well in our home because of his teaching. And in the New Testament, when Jesus gave up the ghost, as it says, the veil that separated the people from the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom. Mm. And it was a symbolic rending of the veil that no longer was anyone needed to go between God, the Levites, the priest, the rabbis. Mm. They were the ones that went between God and the people. And this is an even bigger rending of the veil. You know, this is like, it only gave us a piece of the story. And this, to me, I mean, I'm speaking for what it does for me. That last sentence that y'all just read, he offered you a final demonstration that it is impossible to kill God's son, nor can his life in any way be changed by sin and evil, malice, fear, or death. And I just saw that veil just rending from top to bottom. And in the movie, when I was a kid, I think it was the Ten Commandments. I can't remember, The Life of Christ. But the one that came out when I was a kid, they showed that rending of the veil, and it was quite powerful. And so I see that in my eyes, you know, this in my mind's eye, that this is like a deeper rending of the veil, or I don't know. I hope you get what I'm trying to say, but it's very powerful.
Absolutely.
For me. So I'm just loving.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love this.
Oh, me too. Thank you for sharing. It's really I enjoy hearing about just your experience, you know, with having studied the Bible very much. So, because I never actually really did that much. So it's part of me is interested now that I have this foundation of the course, you
mm-hmm.
know, to read some of it at some point. I know that Regina Dawn Akers did the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote that book, and I've not yet dove into it, but yeah, thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you.
That's great. This is very much a bigger rending, you know, lifting of the veil. For me, it takes that one instant, you know, that one moment of accepting a miracle to have that experience, that, you know, that restored peace, that sensation
mm-hmm.
of that veil lifting. So beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it. And in that very last prayer, that last paragraph that's in italics, there is no death because the Son of God is like his Father. Nothing you can do can change eternal love. I just, that so jumps out at me as a reminder that, kind of like, I think I shared this or said something like this last week, but, you know, if it's sickness, if it's scarcity, if it's suffering of any form, God, like, whatever it is that I go through, and I'll just speak with my own experience, saying to myself, God doesn't know this. Like, God doesn't know it, so it can't be real. Thinking also, too, I heard, I don't remember where I heard this now, but even, I'll give an example today. So I didn't say this before when somebody asked me, you know, what I did for Easter, but the latter part of the day after we got back from brunch was spent with my husband and I hauling, him still removing attic insulation and me hauling the bags out the front door. So, like, you know, not the most fun task, and that the insulation is loaded with dust and probably mold, because we ended up with a little bit of a mold issue in our attic. And, you know, the part of my mind wants to go into, oh, you know, not good to breathe in mold, better be careful. And the thought came to me, like, a mold spore cannot take down the Christ. Dust cannot take down the Son of God. And so am I going to give this power to hurt me? Am I going to give this, you know, something outside myself power to hurt me? Or am I willing to see this differently? Am I willing to give, you know, any belief in my mind and every belief in my mind that mold or dust has any influence over me to Holy Spirit, which is what I am willing to do. So that's my little example that just came up for me about, you know, nothing we can do, nothing can change the eternal, not a mold spore, not a bacteria or a virus or a lack of money, whatever it is that we might be thinking is, you know, coming forward. Nothing can change eternal love.
Corinne, sorry,
yes.
I just got disconnected and I got back on again.
Oh, no problem.
But I actually love the very first sentence. There is no need for help to enter heaven. Any kind of help,
yeah.
For you have never left. Now that's very deep, because you know, most of us don't see it that we never left. Most of us see it as the dream,
mm-hmm.
and in the dream we have left, but actually awake we haven't.
You know, I felt a sense of relief come over me when we read that first sentence.
Right.
I felt a weight lift off of me. That's really
because
powerful. Because we
I resonate with that. We haven't. And
we create the bad dream.
Right, right, in this moment. It's not something that we did before and we're still, you know, having to deal with it. It's that we're making a choice every moment to,
absolutely,
again, which voice, you know, are we listening to? So I also feel relief. I'm so glad you brought that sentence up, Meg, because there's no need for help to enter heaven, for you never left. If I get caught in that thinking of, oh, I got to heal this still, and I have to heal this situation is coming up again, you know, that's where it starts to feel like overwhelming, that there's so much fear to be undone, and yet that belief that there are a lot of fears is part of the dream, because the sentence says it perfectly. We never left. We just have to accept that. That's all. It's so simple. I'm glad you brought that up, Meg. Thank you. That next sentence, my eyes just went to it. But there is need for help beyond yourself, as you are circumscribed by false beliefs of your identity, which God alone established in reality. So if we have any false beliefs about who we truly are, that's where we need this thought system outside of our closed loop, you know, outside of the ego's closed thought system. That's where we need something outside of it to help us out, and that is Holy Spirit, Jesus, however, you know, you want to think, whichever term you're more comfortable with using.
And that's
beautiful.
I think that's where, you know, this the ego just wants to control, you know, because we project onto others all of our own fears,
mm-hmm,
and then we want to control them, and it's all nuts. It's just nuts.
That sums it up nicely. It's all nuts.
And you know, that's when we leave heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that wanting to control everything out there, and there really is nothing out there to control.
Right, right, right. True. My eyes went to another sentence that I had underlined from one of the prior times that I read this. It's at the very, not the very end, so right before the second to last paragraph, that paragraph before the prayer. And it's that second to last sentence in that. It says, yet he would help you a little more if you will share your pains and joys with him, and leave them both to find the peace of God. That jumps out at me as a nice reminder that it's everything that we give to
right.
the Holy Spirit. It's not just the stuff that hurts, not just
right.
the pain, but it's everything, you know, because a lot of things that, you know, seemingly make us happy can still be of the ego. So
right.
so we give it all to Holy Spirit. We leave right. them both to find the peace of God, which is the capital J joy, the real joy.
Which is amazing, too, because so many times we think in life, oh, my life is going poorly and I'm sad, and then we'll think, oh, my life is going happily, I'm happy. So we're in the midst of resisting and grabbing onto. And both of those are incorrect when they're done from the self.
Right, right. Beautiful. Beautifully said. Oh, well, we can move on. We're going to read the next section on the Holy Spirit. It just flows right into that. Does anybody else have anything to say about this section before we continue? You know, I've read this so many times, and it's just, and I know you all have too, and it's just, I'm wondering if you experience the same thing as me, that, you know, every time you read it, it's like you get it on a deeper level. It's something else hits you, you know. All right, so we're going to just move to the very next section on the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Sparkle Edition, we'll just continue to the next paragraph.
Corinne?
Yes.
Thank you so much for directing us to this deck.
You're quite welcome. Thank the Holy Spirit, because it was the inspiration came to me. I didn't decide.
Okay. And then I do that.
Thank you, Meg. All right. Jesus is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, whom he called down upon the earth after he ascended into heaven, or became completely identified with the Christ, the Son of God, as he created him. The Holy Spirit, being a creation of the one Creator, creating with him and in his likeness or spirit, is eternal and has never changed. He was, quote unquote, called down upon the earth in the sense that it was now possible to accept him and to hear his voice. His is the voice for God and has therefore taken form. This form is not his reality, which God alone knows along with Christ, his real Son, who is part of him. The Holy Spirit is described throughout the Course as giving us the answer to the separation and bringing the plan of the atonement to us, establishing our particular part in it, and showing us exactly what it is. He has established Jesus as the leader in carrying out this plan, since he was the first to complete his own part perfectly. All power in heaven and earth is therefore given him, and he will share it with you when you have completed yours. The atonement principle was given to the Holy Spirit long before Jesus set it in motion. The Holy Spirit is described as the remaining communication link between God and his separated sons. In order to fulfill this special function, the Holy Spirit has assumed a dual function. He knows because he is part of God. He perceives because he was sent to save humanity. He is the great correction principle, the bringer of true perception, the inherent power of the vision of Christ. He is the light in which the forgiven world is perceived, in which the face of Christ alone is seen. He never forgets the Creator or his creation. He never forgets the Son of God. He never forgets you. And he brings the love of your Father to you in an eternal shining that will never be obliterated because God has put it there. The Holy Spirit abides in the part of your mind that is part of the Christ mind. He represents yourself and your Creator, who are one. He speaks for God and also for you, being joined with both. And therefore, it is he who proves them one. He seems to be a voice, for in that form, he speaks God's word to you. He seems to be a guide through a far country, for you need that form of help. He seems to be whatever meets the needs you think you have. But he is not deceived when you perceive yourself entrapped in needs you do not have. It is from these he would deliver you. It is from these that he would make you safe. You are his manifestation in this world. Your brother calls to you to be his voice along with him. Alone, he cannot be the helper of God's Son, for he alone is functionless. But joined with you, he is the shining Savior of the world, whose part in its redemption you have made complete. He offers thanks to you as well as him, for you arose with him when he began to save the world. And you will be with him when time is over, and no trace remains of dreams of spite in which you dance to death's thin melody. For in its place, the hymn to God is heard a little while. And then the voice is gone, no longer to take form, but to return to the eternal formlessness of God.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. that is about the Holy Spirit.
Boy, this line, you are his manifestation in this world. Wow.
Right.
Your brother.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is not
voice.
Something separate.
Oh, man.
Where
I don't feel
right
like his manifestation sometimes.
Point me to what paragraph you're looking at. I can't find it at the moment.
Five. At the end.
Fifth paragraph.
Towards the end, the last paragraph.
Oh, got it. Yeah. You are his manifestation in the world, and Jesus is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's what it starts with. That was the very first sentence that we read. So how cool is that? That
oh, my God.
We're Jesus isn't someone separate from us. Holy Spirit isn't something separate from us. It's all the same. And so we're
Ooh.
Called, just like Jesus was called to do his part perfectly and remember the Christ, see the Christ in all his brothers, that's what we're learning how to do too as course students. And for me, it helps me to think that I'm being asked to remember truth like Jesus remembered it, that he's that example that I have of a mind that did not forget truth, and that he's an elder brother. We're being called to do the same, to wake up in the same way that Jesus woke up, and that's exactly what we're doing as we practice this.
I love that.
Me too.
I really resonate with what you just shared, Corinne, because you were talking before about how Jesus was tempted. And that to me is always like such an example of so much hope, because, you know, what the Course is saying is that there's no difference between what Jesus did and what we're doing. It's all the same.
Right. Yeah. So that's where thinking of him as that example of like what we're, you know, asked to do and asked to remember is just, it's so comforting to me, and it's so helpful to know that it's been done already. You know, it's not that we're doing it. It's not that we're doing it because it still has to be done. It's that he undid the dream of death. He undid it perfectly. And so it's just up to us to accept that this has been done and accept the truth about who we are. We don't have to. And by all means, I just want to be super clear that we're not, the Course says you are not asked to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly react like we are.
And actually, we cannot be crucified because we cannot die.
Correct. Right, exactly. Exactly. And I love, too, the second to last paragraph where it says, the Holy Spirit abides in the part of your mind that is the part of the Christ mind. And then it goes on to say, he seems to be a voice. He seems to be the guide in a far country. He seems to be whatever meets the needs you think you have. But he's not deceived when you perceive yourself entrapped in needs you do not have. So Holy Spirit meets us where we're at, no matter where we are. And that's why it's so important to be where we're at, because if we're intellectually trying to bring ourselves ahead of where we are, like if we have thoughts of like, oh, I should be getting this, you know, this is what the Course says, I need to do it this way, we're actually blocking Holy Spirit with that loud ego voice that's telling us we should be something different than what we are. So that's why it's so important to allow ourselves to be exactly where we're at, give our perceptions and everything over to Spirit, because Spirit will meet us where we're at and help us take the next step. It's Spirit's job to do that. It's not up to us to self-correct and make ourselves, you know, force it of our own small will.
And that's in line with that, too. In paragraph 5, I guess, verse 4, when it says, he will remain with you to lead you from the hell you made to God.
Yes. Which paragraph was that again? I'm looking for it.
I'm sorry. It is paragraph 5, verse 4.
Got it. Yeah, beautiful. Actually, I'm not seeing it in paragraph 5, but I don't have numbers on my Sparkle edition.
Okay, the paragraph starts out as, is he the Christ? Oh, yes, along with you.
Christ. Oh, you're in the Jesus, you're in the section prior, yes. Yep, paragraph 5, I see it now.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No problem. Yeah, that's big. He will remain with you to lead you from the hell you made to God. And when you join your will with his, your sight will be his vision, for the eyes of Christ are shared. I love that. I love that.
Can I say something?
Please.
He will be with you to lead you out of the hell you made, Lord of mercy. Lord have mercy. I've got to say that. I'll try and make this really short. Because of this is a story, and I know it, I'm making it all up, but because of this story, I told myself a thought, and that thought became an ingrained belief, and then so I send the witnesses out for it. So the story is that for as long as I can remember, I have had I have relationship history that was just like filled with pain and drama and stuff, you know, and it was always looking like somebody did something to me. Most likely they left, you know, and left me holding the bag. And so I would have friends that I would talk to about this kind of stuff. And I guess after a while, maybe they got tired of hearing it, and then they left. So, you know, as I've grown and moved on in years, pretty much, that's pretty much all it has been. But I've noticed that also, and I've grown in the course and just become more aware of my true identity, there's some things that fell away for me personally that I don't do because I became more aware that I was doing these things and, you know, there was nobody else doing anything to me. And I almost choked when I said that because I don't fully, you know, believe that, but, you know, that's what the course says, so that's what I got to go with. So anyway, I had something go on a couple years, damn, it's 2014, but anyway, it was a situation that I've shared on this line of having someone break up with me but via text, and they've never spoken to me again. And I remember how devastating that was for me and how painful that was. And I remember talking about it, and I remember a friend at the time, well, you know, just as my story goes, you know, at some point she just stopped talking to me. And then recently I had something happen. This was, gosh, December of 2015. Same thing, relationship issue. And I remember talking to two people in my course group, different occasions, by the way. And one of them said something about how I was expressing myself to her she judged as cocky. And then the other one said something that, well, this is stuff I already knew, you know, that, well, you created this, and so, you know, maybe this person didn't want to be in a relationship, blah, blah, blah. Whatever they were saying in the world of form, it wasn't very helpful, and it wasn't very supportive at the time, because I'm pretty sure that if somebody told one of those ladies when their husband died, well, you know you created this, I don't think she'd appreciated that, you know. So it's all about the timing. So when I was hearing, Corinne, when you were saying about, you know, having those thoughts that may not be loving but rather dreamy and illusory, you know, just having none that I would keep, And I think about that today, and I'm struggling with that because those two group members, you know, this happened like a couple months ago, and it still keeps, it's like the volleyball, it's like the beach ball in the pool. Push it down, and it just keeps popping right back up. Push it down, and keeps popping back up. And that's how I feel like these grievances are, and I'm having a tough time with that. Like every time I hear their voices, it's like I just want to, you know, put the phone down and go and do something else till they finish talking. And I really like to get through that and be able to see the Christ in them. So I need a miracle. I definitely need a miracle, but I'm not going to make myself beat myself up because of, well, number one, the story that I tell myself and the witnesses that keep coming back to me to reinforce that story. And it's just crazy, you know. So I guess I just needed to say that because I would like to have some peace. And I would like to be able to see the innocence and not judge myself and not judge my brothers for acting out my script. So I guess I just need to kind of put that out there that I would like to get beyond that. And someone said to me, another course teacher said, you know, it's okay to tell somebody when something they've said has just not been helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You need to say that. And,
absolutely.
And I'm starting to feel real close to that, you know, like to say that just wasn't very helpful, you know, and, I also know that that's not who I need to be talking to no more, you know, and I got to remember that if people are talking crazy to me, that I should not be judging myself based on they talking crazy to me. You know, those are not reliable witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I just needed to say that.
Carla, can I say something?
Sure.
Because I had a situation similar to what you're referring to, and what helped me, And I really like the way you put it, like the beach ball keeps popping up. I thought that was really a good description. And what I did, because I was just really stuck in the dream, and what I did was I started praying for the people. Like every night I would pray, and I'd say really heartfelt prayers for their health, healing, and happiness. Not in a way of I was better than them or something like that, but in a way that I wanted to learn about forgiveness. So I just continually prayed for them. And I guess because of the reading, spiritual reading I was doing and the praying, over time it dissipated the feelings that I had of not wanting to even hear their voice, because I can really relate to that. That started dissipating. So I don't know if that would be helpful to you, but that's an experience I went through, so I was just sharing that with you.
Thank you, Meg.
I'm sorry,
what did you
say?
What's your name?
Oh, Meg.
Oh, thank you, Meg. I appreciate that. You know, yeah, I mean, that's tough, but it certainly worked for people who have shared it before, so I probably need to start doing it, too. If I can't say it out loud, maybe I just need to write it. Thank you.
You're welcome. It worked for me. It took some time. It didn't happen overnight. It took a little bit of time, but I just stuck with it. And even though I know this is a dream, sometimes you, like, really get stuck in the dream, and you just caught up in the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking this is a dream, but I was just really, really stuck. So I really relate to what you're saying.
Thank you, Meg. I'll just share two other things that came to mind when you were sharing, Carla, from my own experience and things that have helped me. One was expressing that I'm pissed at them to Holy Spirit, like really owning my current feelings and not denying how I'm really feeling and really, really being willing to feel them with Holy Spirit. So saying, Spirit, here it is, you know, look at it with me. I'm in this. This is how I'm feeling right now. That's one thing that I've used to work in situations like this. And then another situation that comes really forward in my awareness, because it was a big deal for me, was that someone in my family I was really struggling with for a long time. And I wanted to just give it to the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to confront them. I didn't want to have to talk to them. I didn't want to have to talk about it. But the problem persisted. I couldn't, even though I tried to give it to Holy Spirit, I kept taking it back because I was really pissed. I was really bent out of shape over it. And I decided to be where I was at. And for in this particular situation for me, I needed to find my voice with this person. It was somebody who I had been always, for my whole life, had a hard time speaking up to. So I ended up expressing to this person how I felt. And only after having done that did I feel like, okay, now I can really give this to Holy Spirit. And it was then and since then that my relationship with this person has been transformed. A lot, all of the, I won't say all, I'll say most of the old crap that used to come up, it's gone.
That's beautiful.
There's a few little temptation things that pop up here and there, but it's gone. And that was because I needed to be where I was at, and I needed to say something and not feel guilty about it, because, again, a happy learner does not feel guilty about learning. So what makes that is beautiful, what, you know, it's all about finding what works for you. And so we're just offering our experiences, you know, because what you shared resonated with us. So so I offer that too. So thank you for listening.
Don't forget also to look up everything you can about forgiveness, you know, in the Course in Miracles, because that was helpful too.
That's a great idea.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Well, what, like, the best way ever to spend Easter with you all and reading this. I really, really, really feel
thank
so
you.
Much gratitude. We read exactly the amount that I expected we would read. I have two other recommendations if you want to keep this going after we hang up, if you want to spend some more time with Jesus and with Holy Spirit reading in the Course. In the Manual for Teachers, there is a section, there's two sections. One of the sections is called What is the Resurrection? And then there's another section that's called Does Jesus Have a Special Place in Healing? If you want homework, which you don't have to do, you're welcome to read these at any time. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, What is the Resurrection is the 28th section. It's number 28, What is Resurrection? And Does Jesus Have a Special Place in Healing? That's number 23. So you're welcome if you want to keep reading those. In Sparkle, What is the Resurrection is page 69, and Does Jesus Have a Special Place in Healing is 59. And this part is in the original edition, so you can find it there too.
Thank you, Corinne.
Thank you, everybody. Happy, happy Easter. Group hug.
Happy Easter.
Group hug. Love to everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Love you all. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.